Yep, it's on. We're on. We're good to go. Good morning. Welcome. I must admit, being a 10:30 person, when I pulled up in the car park today and there were six cars, and I thought, I did think it started at 8:30, and I wasn't particularly running early because I'm here this morning, as often the way things are in my household and my life, we tend to fly by the seat of our pants, and that's what we were doing this morning. But I do want to say welcome and g'day. My name's Steve House, for those of you that may not know me, and I'm here up the front this morning due to the fact of Dave's continued absence. Long service leave, I believe. Well deserved. A couple of things I'm incredibly passionate about. Recovery and the Parramatta Eels. Hey. Now, I've been told I'm not allowed to preach with a hat on, but let me just wave this around, and it's first morning out this morning. I've been keeping this in the cupboard for a while. And let me just say that it's always good to beat the locals, isn't it? When Parramatta and Penrith get together and get stuck into it and Parramatta come out on top, I think it is fantastic. Now, as it was said a little bit earlier, we're having a special today, a glimpse, a short, brief look at what recovery is all about. And as Margaret heads up the women's recovery group, I am one of three of the men that look after the men's side of things. Now, recovery's been at this church pretty much since the church was started. And my involvement with recovery has been about half of that time. Now, as Margaret said, and I want to express and stress it to you all the more, that recovery is a Christ-centered, biblical-based program that helps you come, that helps you overcome some of the disconnects that can occur in your Christian life because we're living in a sinful world. Some of the hurtful and harmful hang-ups, habits, and things that just destroy and eat away your life. The things that destroy and eat away your conscience. The things that you think, how can I continue on being a Christian when I still have this terrible habit that reoccurs in my life? Friends, I want to tell you there is good news for this. In the same way there's good news that Jesus came and lived and died for your sins, let me tell you that there is good news, and you can break these cycles. You can break these cycles. Don't be hamstringed them by them any longer. Recovery has eight principles. As I said, it's Christ-centered, biblically based, and the eight principles are going to appear up on the screen behind us now. And I'm going to share them with you, just to give you a bit of an overview on where the whole course goes. The first principle is simple. It says, simple, eh? Realise that I'm not God. Admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. That's principle number one. And as the Bible was read from the Beatitudes this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are those who know they are spiritually poor." The second principle is to earnestly believe that God exists, that you matter to Him, and that He has the power to help you recover. Blessed are those who mourn, Matthew says, because God will comfort them. Principle number three is consciously choose to commit all my life to Christ's care and control. Blessed are those that are humble. Principle number four is openly examine and confess my faults, firstly to myself, to God, and then to somebody I trust. Blessed are the pure in heart, Matthew says. Fifthly, is voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Blessed are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Principle number six, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for the harm I have done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful, happy are the peacemakers. Principle number seven is reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And the final principle, principle number eight, is to yield myself to God, to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my word. And the last word from the Beatitudes is, blessed are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Now, Dave has asked me to come and speak to you about this morning. And some of you will know that I often beat this drum and I say there's only two sorts of people in this world. There's only two sorts, those that are in and have done recovery and those that need it. So, take it up with him. If you take offence at that, take it up with him. But let me just say a little bit more about recovery. Margaret did say it's actually a one-year course. So we've got those eight principles that we need to get through. It's made up of 24 lessons, and some of these lessons can actually take up to 3 weeks to do. You might think to yourself, oh man, a year, that's a long time. But let me just say, you can't fix 10, 20 or 30 years of garbage that's been going on in your life in 5 minutes. It just doesn't work like that. You've got years and years and years of stuff, of muck, of putridness in some cases, that started before you were a Christian, or it may have even just come as a result of being in the world, but you can't cure it overnight. It takes time for the metamorphosis. Have I said that right? Look, it takes a while for it to sink in. Okay? So it takes us a year. Now, the principle one that I'm going to bring to you today, that's almost 4 weeks' worth of work. So we should be out of here by about 3 o'clock, I reckon. I've condensed it. No. Look, well, please be free to sort of work with me. I've nailed it down. I've tried to sharpen the pencil as much as possible. But just sitting here this morning for half an hour, don't think that you can tick off recovery in your list of things to do in life, okay? This is a snippet. This is a bit of a whet your appetite. It's just to sort of maybe break down some of the misnomers that have gone on about this course. So that's what we're going to hope to achieve today. Let's have a look at principle number one again. Realise that I'm not God, admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, as was read to us, says, blessed are those who know they are spiritually poor. Blessed are those who know that they are bankrupt, who know that they are corrupt, who know that they need a saviour. Blessed are you if that is the case, because pride has moved to the side and humility has come in. Now, I've got a question for you, and feel free to write down the answer. You've got an outline there. Just right up the top, up close. There's a little bit of spare real estate in there. But the question I want to ask you right now, I want to put to you, is what is it in your life? What is it in your life that you are in denial about? The first principle is pretty much about denial. So I'm not going to ask you the answers, and cover it up if you don't want anybody else to see, because it is denial, isn't it, we're talking about. What is it in your life that you are in denial about? Just take a couple of moments to sort of think that through. You might want to store it up in your brain, or write it down if you like. See, what is the hurtful and the harmful habit and hang-up that you are in denial about? See, in principle one, what we're going to do today, friends, is we're going to have a bit of a good, hard look at ourselves. We need to stop and move over to the mirror, don't we? And look into the mirror. And why, you might ask. Why? Now, Housie, I don't want to do this. I'm in denial for a reason. I'm in denial because I don't want to look at what is going on in my life. But let me tell you why we do need to have a look at things. And the fact is simply that denial can have disastrous effects on our life. And James talks about a bloke who has a look in the mirror and see what he looks like and then runs away. And then just doesn't want to know anything about it. The Bible tells us that we need to stop. We need to have a good, hard look at ourselves every now and then. It's a healthy thing to do. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Friends, before we can take our first step in recovery, we must face and admit our denials. You can't heal a wound if you say it isn't there, can you? You can't heal a wound if you say it isn't there. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says this. It says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, our recovery, the course is big on acrostics. Who knows what an acrostic is? I didn't before I went to recovery, so I'll put my hand up. An acrostic is when you sort of, you take a word and you, let's have a look at the slide. Yeah, there we go. If you're a note taker, what would be really good is if you wrote denial, D-E-N, I think it's I-A-L, if you wrote denial down that side of the page, right, eh? And then we're going to sort of write a couple of notes out that way. So if you're a good note taker, that's good. Now, if you run out of room, use a bit on the other side. But we've actually got two acrostics to look at this morning. So you're going to need to leave a little bit of room here. If I'd been a bit more organised this week, it would have been nicely printed on the page. But there you go. It's not. And I trust you to be able to write it. So if you've got denial written down the page like that, sorry, I have spelled it right, haven't I? Yeah, righto, yeah, good-o. The acrostic, this acrostic is going to spell out for us the disastrous effect of what's going to happen if we don't face our denial, okay? If we don't face our denial. Now, firstly, denial, bang, look at this, disables our feelings. By repressing our feelings, friends, we freeze our emotions. Understanding and feeling our feelings is actually freedom. It's freedom to understand and to feel your feelings. It's not soft and it's not wussy. And real men do eat quiche. And they do shed a tear from time to time. And they do feel. Now, we're not overly touchy-feely at recovery because, well, we still have a little bit of integrity to maintain, but feelings are important. Feelings are important. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 tells us that they promised them freedom while they themselves were slaves to depravity. For a man is slave to whatever masters him. Friends, if you're being mastered by something, can I just say, there is no freedom. There is no freedom. The second point in our acrostic is that you actually have an energy loss, or you lose your energy. See, the side effects of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste precious time and energy running from our past, worrying about our future, dreading what's going to happen next. It's only the present day, today, that we can have any sort of impact over. where positive change can occur. It's only right at this moment that we can get things sorted. See, Psalm 146, verses 7 and 8 tells us that the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord sets the prisoners free. How lovely is that? And the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The next point, the N in denial stands for negates growth. Negates growth. You're only ever as sick as your secrets, friends. If you're denying stuff, if you are living in this fantasy world that things aren't happening, that what really are, you are sick. Let me just say that. And you are only ever as sick as the secrets are. See, we cannot grow in recovery until we are ready to step out of our denial and into the truth. Again, Psalm 107 tells us that they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. The Lord came and saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. How good does that sound? How good does that sound? Freedom. The I in denial stands for it isolates us from God. God's light shines on truth. Our denial keeps us in the dark. Simple as that, folks. God is truth. He is light. Our denial keeps us in the dark. 1 John tells us that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Isn't that a fantastic verse? If you're writing down, just write 1 John 1, 5 to 7, because it's a good one to remember, to memorize, to lock into the back of your head. The A in denial stands for it alienates. It alienates us from our relationships. Denial tells us. What does denial tell us? You want to have a guess? It tells us that we think we're getting away with it, doesn't it? Yeah? That's why we're denying it, because we think we're getting away. We think that nobody knows. We think that nobody knows that this is what's going on with us, so we're denying it. But what do you reckon the truth of the matter is, friends? They do. People spend time with us and see us and know our actions. They do know. So the answer is, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, therefore each of us must put off falsehood. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. That's what the Christian church is, isn't it? It's a family. We're all members of one body. So if we're here and we're just carrying on, living some sort of BS kind of lifestyle on the side here, how truthful are we being with our brothers? We're not, are we? And in the same sense, we all have a responsibility to each other. If we saw a kid running towards a red hot heater, what would you do?